So here's a Voyager with both engines running, and we made some fake radio calls.
Coordinated with ATC about that.
Yeah. And it does take a while to get the landing gear down because we didn't want to put the weight of a normal landing gear and gear door system in it. And Ronald Reagan was sitting there watching television. And his people, Nancy watching television, his people told him that this airplane is heading for Edwards Air Force Base and it'll be there at a certain time. But they didn't know that Dick wanted to make a gear up pass of the crowd. So he didn't want to put the landing gear on down on the way to Edwards. He wanted to come by. And as we turned base to final for this high-speed pass, both of the chase planes, our Duchess and whatever the other one was, the Beech Musketeer,
they... It was a Cessna with Ferg Fulton.
Okay, excuse me, the camera ship.
Yeah.
Oh, you're right, I'm thinking of the test flight. We pulled away so that the crowd couldn't hear the sound of our chase plane, and we wanted the crowd to be immersed in this wonderful feeling and sound of the... See, the Voyager was real light like that. It only needs a few horsepower to fly. And it seems to be floating, and it makes almost no noise. Like, you know, in takeoff, made a lot of noise. But here it's sitting at almost idle as he comes by this crowd of about 25,000 people. Pulled up, and then they took the time to put the gear down. And then somebody told him, you know, Dick, if you fly another 7 minutes, the record will be 9 days instead of 8 days and almost nine. And you'd think he would be too tired, but no, he said, no, that's a good idea. So by this time, Ronald Reagan had been watching television for about... The reason I know that is Reagan gave us some medals, President Citizens Medal, 3 days later, pinned them on us. But he watched television for about a half an hour, President of the United States. And, of course, the rest of it was on television, so you saw that.
She said that Nancy, when we met him, Nancy was saying that, you know, the president is busy. And we're out there circling around trying to put a half an hour or so on it so we can land after 9 days and flying by and saying things like, what time is it? It's Miller time, you only go around once. What are you going to do now? Going to Disneyland, you know, stuff like that, to kill that those minutes that we get 8 o'clock. And Nancy, and you can just see Ronald Reagan doing that. He's standing in front of the TV and he's getting that exasperated. He says, land the damn plane, just land the damn plane. see what I should have done was, I should have called his bluff. And it's okay, that's a good idea for a loop. As I push the nose down, ready to pull up, and maybe they ought to say, well, why don't you hold off on that?
Yeah.
Hey, there was one really neat thing. You remember the John Glenn flight when he had the false indication that the bag
was off, and they wouldn't
tell him? Anyway, we had we had another problem about fuel going around hiding, and we didn't know what the fuel was. And there was some question about what our gross weight was, and this is in Africa. And we finally found that technical is not important, but we're trying to determine how much fuel is on board the airplane. And this is out over Africa, halfway around the world. And they're trying to do all kinds of stuff. And Burton is a genius. He says, if I know the angle of attack and I know the speed, because one changes with gross weight, right? Speed. If I know the angle of attack and I know the speed, then I can tell you what the gross weight is.
And not so very says, accurately, unfortunately. Yeah.
Well, yeah. Well, I thought it was, hey, that's a good idea. All these guys arguing about whether Gina screwed up or not, but she didn't. And so we put a little plumb bob up there and hang it down by the instrument panel. I must have spent 20 minutes because I knew this is really critical. We had two indications. One of them says that we were out of fuel so much we couldn't even get out of Africa. And then the other one was, really, how much we fuel? So Bert comes up with this really cool idea. So I spent almost 20 minutes, and I'm going forward and back and forward and back, and I'm working. I knew this. I tried to get down to a tenth of a knot. Worked really hard on it. And I finally had the number, and I squeezed the mic button and called Bert and gave him the number. And I knew that within a handful of seconds, he could tell me what the gross weight was, how much fuel we had on board, whether we're going to make it or not. And I waited. And I waited. 5 minutes went by. 10 minutes. 15 minutes. And then I thought about calling him. And I says, you know, it's probably bad news. I don't think I'll bother. When I got back and I said, Bert, by the way, how did that test come out? Remember what you told me?
No.
No. No, he told me that the result of our test, you don't remember this, huh? Uh-huh. The result of this test was that we confirmed that we're the very worst of the news and we didn't have enough fuel to get across Africa. And I says, well, why didn't you tell me? I forget what you said, but she says, no, I didn't want to bother you or something like
well,
that.
Well, first of all, the main reason is with a real high aspect ratio, high LRD airplane, that measurement is very coarse.
You want to sit down?
Okay.